Live from Houston, Texas, this is Big Ideas Small Business with your host, Laura Camrath and Brian Gendron. And now, the music of Max Flynn.
I'm starting to feel a little crazy again. I think it's time I start to pack my things.
Welcome to Big Ideas Small Business. This is your host, Brian Gendron.
And Laura Camrath.
We are very happy to be joined by us today with the author of Side Hustle Millionaire, Tony Watley. Tony, how are you today?
Good. Thank you for having me on a guest. I can't wait to talk to your listeners. And Laura, Brian, good to meet you guys.
Yeah. And our hope is today you're going to take this concept of really having that side hustle, that side income, and turning that, which is oftentimes your passion, and turning that into your real hustle. We're going to help some of our listeners with some ideas around that today.
Definitely. Actually, one of my main things that I like to differentiate myself from the other people that are trying to help you start businesses is not to quit that job. Use that as a security blanket or a parachute. And if you come to a point where the side hustle actually brings in enough profit, then we can have that discussion. But there's a lot of people out there that are telling you, quit your job, chase your dreams, and it's just not responsible. So let's not do that.
There is no get rich quick, is what Tony's saying in so many words. So what we like to do in the format, in the guest interview format, and thanks again for joining us, is we like to start with a few fun facts about you, Tony, if that's all right. And so I actually just left Toastmasters, and I was looking through Tony's profile, and you also have been in Toastmasters. And so, and actually we started at the same time, about June of last year, and just curious how that's gone for you so far. It's been terrific for me.
So Toastmasters is a very supportive community. It's an international nonprofit. They have clubs all over the world. And that's where I learned to become a better public speaker. I knew that I had a story to tell and I had a lot of things that I wanted to share with people. So I joined Toastmasters, like you said, June of last year. And it really got me out of my comfort zone and started putting me in front of some people to get some practice to speak in front of people and do these things like these podcasts and radio and talk from a stage. I've been in contests. It's amazing that in a short span of 1 year, how much you can improve over these things if you just practice and apply yourself. Yeah. So for anybody out there that needs that confidence and they're definitely scared of public speaking, join a Toastmasters. It's really inexpensive, and I think you're going to get a lot of value of that, and you're going to be a different person in 6 months. Would you agree?
I can't agree more. Hmm. Yeah, it's been great for me.
Yeah, I haven't actually done Toastmasters, but I actually did a program last year with a company called Red Elephant. And they help people with speaking from stage in a sales sense. So they had where I found out about them, they had a weekend workshop called Speak to Impact Live. And, you know, it was really about like speaking from stage and how to make offers, how do you handle that, what kind of offers do you make and when. When's it appropriate or not appropriate to make an offer? Just like really helping people who want to be speakers for their business. Mm-hmm. And, you know, also like, okay, Facebook Lives, getting people comfortable with doing them. Hey, Facebook Live.
Facebook Live. Hey, that's the number one marketing tool out there. And there's so many people that aren't using it. It blows my mind.
Yeah. And then, you know, I just learned how to tell stories from stage because, you know, I'm sure they teach that at Toastmasters. Mm-hmm. But, you know, to let people connect with you and really be able to see themselves in you and your experience, and so that when you do make an offer that they trust you.
Definitely. You want to build that connection, build some level of relatability to your story. Understand that you're not always going to have to be the hero in your story, but if it can compel somebody to inspire them to do something else positive with their life, yeah, that's the connection that you're trying to look for when you're trying to do that. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've talked a lot about your story, identifying your story, getting in tune with your story. So that's a good segue for us to hear, you know, a little bit about how you got to this seat and why we're talking to you today.
So I've got definitely an unusual story on the career front. I feel like I've actually led a dual career for the last 20 years. Mm-hmm. And that was in the project management, oil and gas industry. I started there when I was 18, put myself through college, got the engineering degree. And I've always loved that the engineering side of that career path, and I invested a lot of time and money into that and got to a very good, you know, comfortable salary levels in that industry. But it was always something that I'm a very creative person, so I wanted to have a more creative outlet, mm-hmm, to become a better leader, to build some more revenue, to just being more involved in my own destiny. And so I've always, even starting as a kid, I've always started out small businesses and done things, and whether it's flipping things and, you know, buying things cheap and selling them for a little bit more, or doing these things, building things by, you know, arts and crafts or whatever I could teach myself. I was building web pages. I taught myself a lot of things by reading books and anything I could monetize just to have little side businesses. But in 2001, I actually started my first LLC with a partner in Chicago, and it blew up. It became the busiest General Motors performance website on the internet, and we had over 150,000 registered members when we sold the company in 2007. So this was always a side hustle, and it was creating a crazy amount of revenue for a side business while we both, my partner, it was a side hustle for both of us. You know, we both had full-time careers that were doing pretty well in their careers, and you know, give your listeners an idea, we're making almost $400,000 a year profit from our side business.
Wow. And it's around something that you're passionate about around the auto industry, right?
Yes. Yeah. We were drag racers, and we loved the General Motors Camaros, Firebirds, Corvettes. And that's something we built. For me, I've always been a believer that money follows passion. And I think if you join or start a company with the sole intent of trying to create money, and it's not something you're actually passionate about, you're probably going to backfire on that, because you're going to get burned out on that subject, and you're going to be doing it for the wrong reasons. So you got to make sure it's something you enjoy doing if you're going to go pursue that financial goal.
Yeah,
and that's exactly what I was going to say. You know, the reason you're able to have that level of success was because it was something that you're passionate about. And that's what's key, especially if it is your side hustle. Look, you have that parachute, you have that core job that keeps you stable. So then on the side, and I imagine this is a lot of this content, it's when you can pursue that passion and do some deep thinking about what you are passionate about, and allow you actually give yourself that time and the permission to explore that and hopefully monetize that.
Yeah, definitely. So one of the big things I would like to relay to the listeners about the side hustle industry, it's a large industry, large community nowadays. You hear about the side business type things a lot, especially in the digital space, because there's a lot of companies that you can actually start, and they only take maybe an hour of your time, and they can bring in real revenue if you build the right business model. But my overall looking from this thing is, there's a lot of communities and podcasts out there on this subject and books on this subject, is that the side hustle community in general just thinks too small. And that's why the book Side Hustle Millionaire, because I want to get you into a different mindset to understand the scalability and all the things that the hobbyist type side hustlers do wrong, is they don't think about real financial goals in 1 year, 5 year, 10 year. They don't think about terms of scalability. They don't think about terms of scalability in their hours they're spending on doing these things. So a lot of times people want to start a business around a little hobby or a little thing they want to build, or a trinket, something that consumes a lot of time and energy. And if you're working a full-time job, you're just not going to have that. You know, we just don't have that kind of time to do that. So I try to think about businesses that you can run in 1 to 3 hours, maybe per day or less. And some business models, once you set, they're fully automated, you can run them in 10 minutes a day just by checking the logs and analytics and making a few adjustments and going to work.
That sounds like one of Laura's favorite books, 4-Hour Work Week.
Love that book.
Figured.
Love that book. I've read it a few times.
Yeah, I need to... read it again.
You know, every time you read Tim Ferriss's book, you learn something else.
Yeah.
Because there's just so much in there to consume. You can't consume that entire book in one sitting. You just start to glaze over.
Yeah.
Well, let me put some practicality to what you just said in our own world. So we've been doing this podcast now for about a year, and it's a side hustle or it's a hobby. And just recently, that's Laura, what do we want to do with this podcast? And set those goals. And there's financial goals involved with that. And then once we did that, well, now here we are with Tony Watley sitting. You know, it's changed our whole direction. It's changed our whole purpose. Mm-hmm. And we knew we were passionate about it. But if you're thinking too small, that passion almost goes to waste.
Agreed. You just got to think bigger. And like anything else, you know, it comes from my project management background as well. As I have a finished product or an end result that I'm looking for. And for me, that'll be a financial goal or some company size or whatever we define for your company. But then you just have to identify the steps to get to that finish line, put them on a calendar, and just adhere to that plan, that schedule. And that's what most companies just kind of, they fail to do that. I see a lot of the companies I help start, they don't have a plan in mind. So to me, that's just like they're wandering around in the forest with no map. They just have no end goal. They have no exit plan strategy. They have nothing in mind other than they just like this widget, or they like to do this service that they do.
That's right. Yeah, that's I'm a huge fan of Gary Vee. I don't know if you listen to Gary at all.
Big time.
Right. And so one of the things that he helped me do when I was starting my entrepreneur journey was that he he basically said, "Who's showing up at your funeral?" I'm like, "Ooh, okay, Gary." So now we're talking not just in the micro about, you know, this company. We're thinking about legacy and in the macro, my life and what I want to leave behind. And that was huge. And then you work backwards from even that. And I look at my company and I'm like, you know, this is an IT services company. Eventually can have a price tag on it. You know, I want it to be up for sale in 5 to 7 years. So I have a defined end game. A lot of people are afraid to do that or don't want to do that or I've just not been taught to do that.
There's actually as strange as it sounds, there's actually a fear of being successful.
I believe it. I think so.
Yeah. Some people are worried so much. It's a sub fear of being socially rejected. Okay. So when you have this fear of becoming successful, you're worried about what other people are going to say about you. So if you came from nothing like I did and you built your whole thing, a lot of people just can't see themselves in a different situation. They don't feel like they deserve something for some reason. Mm-hmm. And if they see themselves in the future as being successful, they're worried about the peers that they have at that moment judging them, and that prevents them from being successful, which blows my mind. But it's a real thing. It's a real thing. And if you guys have that fear, you really got to just take care of that. You got to understand that you do deserve the best that you can afford, because we all have the same life. We're all born and we all die. And what we do in between is our decision.
That's right.
And so you got to really just look at that fear and look at the people that you're worried about being judgmental. If they're going to be judgmental of you, they're not your real friends anyways, because real friends and people that actually are happy, they support you in your dreams and whatever you want to do. So you got to kind of start to think about, these are decisions we make. They're not emotions. You got to put the decisions before your emotions.
That's very sage advice. And what he's talking about, that fear, comes somewhere from your childhood. There are people that can work through that with you if you need to, if you really struggle with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. For example, Bellany DeShong of the Live It Choice program, who's my mindset coach. I'm actually going to a workshop for her her coaching program on Friday. But, you know, I mean, as entrepreneurs, I think we all have, you know, we all have our stuff that we deal with. And I think once you become an entrepreneur, at that point you have to face your own, you know, stuff like you've never had to before, because you know, there's nobody but you now. You know, there's nothing to hide behind. It's all you. And so, okay, well, you know, how are you showing up? And we talked last week, we had a speaker named Kalia Guillory about, how are you showing up? Are you showing up as your 100%? And if you're not, then, you know, that's something to work towards, not only in your business, but personal as well. So, you know, and speaking of Kalia, I had a question for you as well. Kalia, she's a speaker, very inspirational woman. And she started her speaking business as a side hustle. And she was working in corporate. And, you know, recently she's left her corporate behind, and now she's 100% into her speaking business. So my question to you is, you know, when does your corporate job or your, you know, when does that steady job become a lifeboat, where it's being a crutch rather than being, you know, supporting your side hustle? Like, how do you know when your side hustle needs to become your full hustle?
I would say that that's going to be a decision that everybody has to make on their own, and there's a lot of factors involved in that. But I think the main one, that listen to your heart. If you're showing up at your job every day and you're miserable and you're just doing it for the paycheck and you're having to work with extremely miserable people that are bringing you down, and you feel like you're just like wasting your life at that company, then you're probably going to be more motivated to step away sooner, even if you do take a little pay cut. But at the end of the day, it all just goes back down to looking at your finances. You know, can you afford your house or your apartment or your car and these bills that you have? And if not, what can we do to eliminate those things now to try to get that burden down? And then maybe you're moving your targets towards each other, so this business can be building revenue, but you're also reducing costs.
Yeah.
And you just have to. It's kind of like most people, they look at pain, and they accept a certain amount of pain. And if they're not going to change, that means they haven't felt enough pain yet. So everybody has a different pain threshold, and you got to just be honest with yourself. And if it comes to a point where your company can be scaled and actually increase revenue, if you had more time invested to put into it, that's when you got to make that decision. Like, hey, I need to go do this thing more full time, put the 100% into it, show up that way. And then start to throttle back on the career part, you know. So it's all about the financials, but always be responsible for that.
I agree with that, but I also think you need to be willing to look at your own happiness, right? So if I have to take a haircut on pay for a year and eat ramen and move in with my buddy, but I'm going to be that much happier because I'm out doing what I'm doing. You got to factor that in too, right?
Definitely, definitely. There's no value to that. And like I said, you can either build somebody else's dream or you can build your own.
You hear people all the time. They have the most fun when they're bootstrapping.
Yeah.
When they look back, like, oh, no, I have all this money. That's not fun anymore. The fun part is the journey. And oftentimes that's bootstrapping. So, certainly don't let that hold you back too much. If financially it doesn't quite work, you guys got to make it work.
Yeah.
It means you might have to make one more sale or work one extra hour, but you just got to make it work.
It's amazing what you will figure out to be creative to create income when you need it.
Yeah, out of desperation, out of survival. Yeah. That's oftentimes where creativity comes
into play. Definitely. When you got your back against the wall, you're painted into a corner, you will become creative by necessity. You're going to find a lot of things about yourself. And again, you're not going to trade that happiness for that. So
good. So you've had a lot that you've done and accomplished. What, if it'd be all right, could we take one of a big idea that you've had and dive into it a little bit? And we're gonna ask you to be a little vulnerable too. Or ask you,
no problem.
And you have no problem doing this because I on your website, for example, you're like, I've started a lot of companies. Some of them have failed. So I love seeing that to show that those are learning experiences. So what would be one big idea we could talk into a little bit?
I would say don't be afraid of becoming who you envision yourself to be. There's a lot of people out there. It kind of goes back to people that talk about, or you're worried about what other people are going to judge you in your corporate level, your career level, and they want to put you in a categorical box that they define for you. So they may think like, hey, you're just an engineer, or you're just a teacher, or these labels that we kind of live with daily. We work really hard to establish those labels, but don't ever be afraid to step out and understand that maybe that was just that phase of your life, and that you're in control of what you want to be, regardless of what other people say. And if you're going to live your entire life worried about how other people perceive you, then that's going to be a miserable life because you're never going to be true to yourself. And I've always wanted to do things. I'm a teacher at heart, and I love to help people. And I've always done that, even within my old career. I've always voluntarily took those mentor roles and took the young engineers and project managers and try to build them up into their potential. And I've always loved doing that. And so about a year ago, I decided, I've got this calling. I've got a lot of experience. People always come to me for advice on starting their companies. I was like, I get a lot of good feedback. I've seen a lot of good results in the last 10 years. And they said, you should be doing this full time.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's really hard to walk away from that oil and gas salary. It's a lot of money to walk away. And I have a lot of time and a degree invested in that. But it was something that compelled me about a year ago. I was like, I'm just going to be more public about it. I was doing all this stuff in the background, because I didn't want the corporate side of my life, my dual purpose, didn't understand what I was doing. Not that there was a conflict of interest, but it was just that I didn't see it as a benefit to help me. And I think I got on Instagram and I made a video or something. I just said, I'm going to be more vocal. It's like, you guys know me as a car guy. You guys know me as an oil and a gas engineer, but I'm going to start teaching you about things that I actually love, which is business, entrepreneurial, things that are inspiring, just living the best version of yourself. And I became more vocal about that. And there was some polarizing moments from some people that didn't like that I was changing to that. Mm-hmm. And there's critics, anything you do, but if you don't have critics, you're not doing anything big enough to get their attention. So always judge your progress by how many critics you have, because otherwise you're not doing anything.
I couldn't agree more. One of my favorite moments in this podcast journey that we've been on with Big Idea Small Business, when we got our first troll. I loved it. I absolutely loved it. And I got to go into it, but now we have a troll and then our fans start to go into it. So that's an even bigger moment.
That's a big step.
The community support. So I couldn't agree more with that. And so is this, so 365 driven, is that what you're referring to? Okay, good.
Yeah. So it was the public speaking training, writing the book, doing these things, creating the online group, 365 driven entrepreneurs group on Facebook, and we started that in December. There's already 1,700 members in there.
I'm one of them.
Owners, yep. So thank you for joining. It's awesome. And I try to give a lot of value. I try to do share these videos and things like this, and write the book and share excerpts. And I'm always answering messages and trying to help people. And I haven't charged a dime yet. So they paid me back by buying the book. So that's kind of the way it works. Mm-hmm. You know, the more value you give when it comes time to ask for something, you're going to have enough people that say, hey, you know, you've helped us out. So it's just a book. We're going to help you out. And then they're getting a lot of value for like $14 or whatever that Amazon has it setting it now.
That's more Gary Vaynerchuk for you.
Yeah.
that's the way he goes about it. Now, so I'm a part of that group. It's very good. We've got something very similar in that I'm trying to do some of the similar consulting work that you're doing. And I've created my own curriculum, and I'm still trying to work through that. And I'm offering some free services for a few businesses to get that built up. What I'm curious is for your process, did you pull from different things that you've had along your journey? Are you creating it from scratch? How have you come up with your program?
I would say that a lot of it's based on just experience that I've had from running a company for 20 years now. And there's always lessons that you learn from there's pros and cons to running a business. So, you know, my expertise is creating this business so that you can operate while you're working full time. And I guess I've learned over that past two decades of just from people asking me for advice. And then I think about myself, like, how would I answer that?
And then you're learning too, right? Whenever I ask you a question, you're learning.
You're always learning. And that's the best part about being a mentor or a coach is not only do we get to see the success of the people that we're helping and we get to enjoy that with them, which I love that because that defines how I'm helping them, but I also become a better person myself by teaching other people. So if I'm helping other people, I'm actually becoming a better person in the same time.
I couldn't agree more. And how about this? Can you tell us a time where you stumbled and what you've learned from it? Would you be willing to share? Or maybe if it's a company that you said that failed or something that we could learn from.
Yeah, I guess there's you just have to be not afraid of trying. So you always have to look at the risk factor. We, as business-minded people, we try to mitigate risk as much as we can, but there's no magic potion for the business model. You can copy the business models that are proven, but there's no guarantee that they're going to work. And I've started a few companies. I probably lost $30,000-$40,000 investment in that had all the things great on paper, but I just jumped in and things didn't work out for whatever reason. They didn't get the traction, or they had some adversity, or maybe I was going into a saturated market that had a lot of competition, or just maybe there were some legal type things that kind of held you up. But you have to be willing to take that risk. And that's where entrepreneurs are really good at. They're good at taking that risk and then not letting that failure define them. Mm-hmm. So they'll fail fast, and you've heard that phrase before, and then they're very forgetful, and they just kind of get to the next one. They just keep trying until something hits. And it's all a law of averages. So the more opportunities that you have to put yourself out there and make these risk-type choices, something's going to land. Something's going to land over time. And when you decide you're going to quit and not take those risks, that's when you just kind of become complacent and you settle.
Complacency. We talked to, was it J.D. Garnier a couple of weeks ago, said the worst kind of water is still water.
Yeah.
Right?
Mosquitoes.
It's mosquitoes and fungus and all this stuff collects.
Algae collects. Nothing good with standing water. You're right.
So you got to keep moving.
That's a good analogy. I like that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So do you have any other questions or thoughts for Tony before we get into...
Let's see. Yeah, I mean, I guess if you were to give advice to somebody who's trying to start a side hustle or business, what would probably be your biggest advice or the most powerful advice that you think you could give right now?
I think the step that gets skipped the most is the analysis of their idea. Mm-hmm. So what I like to tell people is your idea is not a big deal. We all have great ideas. I think the three of us could sit here and brainstorm some ideas probably for some amazing companies in the next hour. But unless you take any action on those ideas, they're a waste of time. And what I like to tell people, and it's in my book as well, that there's thousands of people that die every single day with great ideas that were never shared or taken action on. Mm-hmm. So don't give yourself any credit for just having ideas. But the problem is some people have ideas that they're not willing to walk away from. They become very passionate, and they become very mentally focused on this idea, but they don't really do a thorough business analysis of that idea to understand, is it going to hit a financial target? Is it going to hit a time requirement target? So you have to be able to come up with these ideas, but you also have to be strong enough to understand that they're not going to get you to your goal. And no matter how much you love that idea, it's just not going to get you to your goal, which is the important part. And you got to be strong enough to walk away from those. Because I see a lot of people start companies based on a passion or a hobby or just something that they really love, but it doesn't get them to their goal, so they end up wasting 3 or 4 years of their life going down this dead-end street that's not going to get them anywhere, which they could have used that 3 or 4 years of their life to actually get closer to an actual goal. So be strong enough to identify your passions, but also be strong enough to walk away from them.
Terrific. Well, so one of the things we like to do in closing, we need to know our listeners to know where to find you. So if we were to find your book and anything else that you want to plug.
So Side Hustle a Millionaire, it's on Amazon. You can get it in paperback and hardcover and also digital Kindle format. I'll be doing an audio version in the next couple months. It did hit number one bestseller on Amazon on the opening day in the business marketing category. So I hope you guys can go search and find that. If you want to reach me online, you can find me on my website at 365driven.com. Instagram/365driven or Facebook/365driven.
Awesome.
And all those links will be in the description of the podcast, so you can follow them there. And Tony, we honestly can't thank you enough for joining us here today. Certainly some great advice for people who are looking to start companies, who maybe have their side hustle and might want to take it to the next level. I can't say just being a part of the group, the Facebook group has been really helpful for me. So
yeah. And anybody out there that's wanting to get into a supportive group full of other entrepreneurs or aspiring entrepreneurs, you can do a search on Facebook, 365 Driven Entrepreneurs, and join the group. And we'll, if you're not too spammy, we'll invite you in.
You know, one other thing, I was just looking at your book on Amazon, and did you know it's most likely bought together? Do you know what the book is that it's with?
Influence.
Yeah, how to win friends and influence people.
Which I love that book. Yeah. It's a great book.
Another great book. So we almost forgot. So is there any other book recommendation? We went over a few, but any book recommendations, readings that you'd recommend aside from your own?
That one you just brought up is a big one. And one thing that a lot of people don't realize, it's Dale Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence Other People. But there's a newer version of it for the digital age. So the other one's like really old school. I don't know, 100 years old. I don't even know. It's an old book, but there's a newer revision for the digital age, and that one actually gets into communication with Facebook and LinkedIn and email. So it's an addendum to the original, which is good because digital communications is something a lot of people struggle with.
Changed the world. Yeah, it definitely changed how we communicate. And so I'll get that in the link as well. And one other thing, do you have any technology that you use? I mean, we talked about Facebook Live, but is there any other ones that you recommend to our listeners?
I'll give you two that we can touch on that. So the first one was just an app, and that's Evernote. I think we've mentioned that. So if anybody that's looking at their desk right now and it's all covered with all these colorful Post-it notes stuck everywhere, like, you don't need to do that. You can use Evernote. It's a free app, and it's basically replaced all my Post-it notes, and it's in my phone. So anytime I have an idea or a list idea, or I can even create like a hashtag list of 30 that I use for Instagram that I'll just copy paste out of, that way I don't have to type them out every time. And it's a very useful tool to have at easy access. But the other tool, I think we've touched on that, and we're actually doing it right now with the live videos, is Facebook and Instagram live videos. That is the most powerful tool for marketing or personal branding that's out there, and it's free. And it's in your pocket. You're carrying it. You can have access to thousands of people by pushing a live button and building that confidence by doing things like Toastmasters or getting better at that. But what blows my mind is there's so many people out there in the marketing space or the personal branding space that are intimidated by going live.
Yeah.
And I get it. It's a fear factor you got to overcome. But if I got a lot of car people in my audience. They love cars, right? So if you had a tool set and you're building something and you had the best tool to build it, why wouldn't you use that tool to do what you need to do? And to me, that's Facebook and Instagram Live. A lot of people are not using it, and it's a free tool that's right in their pocket. So you got to get over that. You got to get practice at that. And because I don't think it's going to be free forever.
I agree.
I think they're getting us hooked on that, and they're seeing how many eyeballs we can get on these live things. And at some point, we're going to go click that live button, and it's going to ask for a dollar value by how many people you want it to go to. So count on that. So right now, it's free. And if you guys are out there wanting to build your personal brand or your company, you better be using it right now.
Well, we're doing it here on Big Ideas Small Business. So again, Tony, thank you very much for joining us. Thanks for the recommendations. All those links will be in the description. Laura?
Thanks for watching, everybody. Thanks, Tony, for coming. This was awesome. It was great meeting you, getting to know you a little. I'm going to check out your book.
Yep. Side Hustle Millionaire. All right. Y'all go out and close some business.
All right.
Bye, have a good day. Guys. Central.
Texas rain's the strongest drink I've found.
Thank you for listening to Big Ideas Small Business. Follow us at BISB Media and visit our website at www.bisbmedia.com.